In the latest chapter of our collective nightmare, lawmakers on Capitol Hill have decided to yank open the vault and let loose the ghastly specter of Jeffrey Epstein's investigative files. After months of Republicans clawing at each other like rabid dogs in a pit, President Donald Trump's Justice Department is finally ordered to release all files related to the convicted sex offender. Yes, this is where we are. Trump's DOJ will spill these sordid beans after GOP leaders spent their summer desperately trying to bury them 6 feet under. This bill, an anomaly that somehow united nearly every Republican in Congress, is now headed for Trump's desk. A man who once dismissed this as a Democratic hoax now says he'll sign it. Why? Because in this absurdist play we call American politics, even Trump can see when an embarrassing defeat is looming larger than his ego. Speaker Mike Johnson and Majority Leader John Thune both found themselves reluctantly clutching transparency, as if it were some kind of radioactive potato they couldn't drop fast enough. Despite their previous fervor to protect victims' privacy, which apparently only mattered until political pressure reached a boiling point, they've stepped aside for this rare bipartisan spectacle. Thomas Massie, that Kentucky maverick who dared defy party lines, stands victorious amidst the rubble of what used to be his relationship with Trump. After enduring personal attacks that questioned everything from his marriage to his sanity, Massie emerged with a smirk and a bill passed by 427-1 votes. A landslide victory in any universe but ours. And then there's Representative Clay Higgins, the lone dissenter clinging to the notion that maybe releasing these files tramples over 2 centuries of criminal justice procedure, like a herd of elephants on parade. But hey, who needs procedures when you've got political theater? In true fashion, Trump had initially whipped up interest in Epstein's investigation like it was just another reality TV plot twist, promising declassification on the campaign trail, while keeping mum once re-elected. The MAGA faithful grew restless. Cries for accountability echoed louder than ever before as they realized promises made were not promises kept. Massie and Democratic ally R. O'Connor spearheaded an insurgent move around House leadership, a procedural gambit forcing action despite White House resistance and threats more hollow than a chocolate Easter bunny left out in July's sun. But let's not kid ourselves into thinking this is about justice or closure. It's about optics and survival in Washington's unforgiving swamp where allegiances shift quicker than sand dunes in a desert storm. This isn't about righting wrongs, it's merely another chapter penned by those who thrive amidst chaos while pretending they're delivering salvation wrapped neatly with bow ties labeled transparency. So here we find ourselves again, witnessing an administration begrudgingly honoring its own rhetoric under duress from within its ranks. All while America waits with bated breath for whatever fresh hell emerges next from Pandora's box marked Epstein files.
At the Art World, a place where a $236.4 million painting in a gold toilet can share the spotlight without anyone batting an eye. Yes, folks, that's right. Sotheby's just had a record-breaking night in New York, where Gustav Klimt's portrait of Elizabeth Lederer sold for more money than most of us will see in several lifetimes. And what better way to celebrate this achievement than by auctioning off an 18-karat gold toilet named America? Because nothing screams high culture like a loo that could double as a retirement plan. Now, let's talk about this golden throne for a second. Created by Maurizio Catalan, it's not just any toilet, it's a statement piece, a statement that says, I have so much disposable income, I can literally flush it down the drain. It's also worth noting that its starting bid is based on its weight in gold. So if you ever find yourself wondering how to measure your self-worth, just remember, it's apparently equivalent to the price of precious metals. And while we're all busy worrying about inflation and interest rates, Sotheby's is hoping to rake in over $1 billion from these sales. Billion with a B. Meanwhile, some of us are still trying to figure out how to justify our monthly Netflix subscription. But hey, who needs financial stability when you can own Edvard Munch's angst-ridden masterpieces or stand in line for hours just to catch a glimpse of America's shiniest commode? It's art appreciation at its finest, or at least at its most opulent. So next time you're stressed about your first world problems, like why your artisanal oat milk keeps curdling in your coffee, just remember there are people out there bidding millions on paintings and toilets. And isn't that comforting?
Ah, the annual flu season, a cherished tradition that promises to deliver the warm embrace of hospital beds and the sweet symphony of coughs echoing through crowded ERs. This year, we're graced with a special guest, Subclade K, a mutated strain that's already made its rounds in the UK, Canada, and Japan. Like an uninvited relative at Thanksgiving dinner, it's here to stay. Last winter was just a teaser. With record-breaking hospitalizations and tragic pediatric deaths setting the stage, this season is shaping up to be another act in our ongoing saga of viral roulette. Experts suggest we're on track for a repeat performance, because why settle for one severe flu season when you can have two? Our salvation lies in vaccines that offer some protection against hospitalization from this new variant, especially for children. But wait, Americans are skipping their flu shots, like they're dodging jury duty. Perhaps it's because nothing says holiday spirit like rolling the dice on public health. The CDC reports rising flu activity, with subclade K leading the charge. It wasn't included in the latest vaccine recipe, but don't worry, they got close enough. After all, who needs precision when dealing with public health? The vaccines cover a related group of viruses. It's like wearing flip-flops in a snowstorm, better than nothing. Despite early analysis showing decent vaccine effectiveness against subclade K, cutting emergency visits by 75% for kids, many adults seem content to play immune system roulette. With vaccinations down over 2 million compared to last year, it's almost as if people enjoy living life on hard mode. Australia's experience with subclade K offers us a glimpse into our future. Record cases and dwindling vaccinations. A perfect storm brewing just south of the equator. Their misfortune is our crystal ball. Yet here we are, blissfully ignoring history's lessons. Flu cases are rising faster than holiday travel plans, which means we're headed for a collision course between airborne pathogens and airborne passengers. Wastewater data signals an impending wave of illness washing over us, a tsunami of germs riding on planes filled with coughing travelers. But fear not. There's still time to get vaccinated before you find yourself bedridden amidst twinkling lights and festive cheer. Or perhaps that's exactly how you envision spending your holidays this year. So grab your popcorn and maybe some hand sanitizer as we watch this dystopian drama unfold once more. A tale where humanity's stubbornness meets nature's relentless adaptability head-on, with society's well-being hanging precariously in balance.
Welcome to the Existential Crisis Hour, where we ponder life's big questions while laughing at the sheer absurdity of it all. Today, inspired by an article from, well, somewhere out there in the digital ether, we're exploring the peculiar intersection of technology and mortality. The original piece was titled, "Take Notaro Describes the Experience of Witnessing a Friend's Final Moments." Let's take a moment to appreciate how this deeply human experience is juxtaposed with a survey about video ads not loading properly. Consider this. As Tig Notaro reflects on life slipping away, some algorithm is busy asking us how relevant an ad is to our existence. One might wonder if there's a cosmic joke here. Perhaps the universe's way of reminding us that while we grapple with profound loss, someone somewhere is more concerned about buffering issues. Isn't it fascinating how we've managed to create a world where our deepest emotions are shared across platforms designed for cat videos and targeted advertising? As you contemplate the fleeting nature of life, remember that your most intimate moments could be interrupted by an ad for noise-canceling headphones, because nothing screams existential reflection like being asked if the audio was too loud. In this age of digital immediacy, does anyone else find it ironic that technology promises connection yet often leaves us feeling more disconnected than ever? As we witness humanity's final acts through pixelated screens, perhaps it's time to question whether these virtual experiences bring us closer or just make everything feel like one big buffering wheel. And so we ask, are our lives just one long pre-roll ad before the main event? Or worse, are they simply glitches in the Matrix? A series of frozen moments waiting for content that never seems to load. As you mull over these questions during your next existential crisis, or when you're stuck watching another ad that doesn't finish loading, remember, life may be short and unpredictable, but at least it's never short on irony.
In the grand theater of capitalism, ultra-processed foods take center stage, a grotesque spectacle of profit over health. As if choreographed by some sinister puppet master, global corporations weave a tapestry of deceit and manipulation, converting basic sustenance into a lucrative empire built on the very decay of human well-being. In this capitalist fever dream, food is no longer nourishment but an alchemical transformation of corn and wheat into synthetic indulgence. sawdust, dressed up with artificial flavors to tickle the taste buds and line the pockets. The numbers paint a haunting picture. More than half of the $2.9 trillion showered upon shareholders stems from these manufacturers alone, a testament to society's descent into madness, where financial gain trumps all else. The industry's refusal to produce minimally processed foods reveals its true nature. It thrives on political lobbying that stifles public health policies, like weeds choking out flowers in a garden long abandoned. This relentless pursuit turns entire populations into unwitting pawns in a game rigged against them. With 70% of grocery shelves stocked with these edible imposters, the consumer stands little chance against this calculated assault on their senses. Like big tobacco before them, food giants deploy strategies designed to addict and ensnare, targeting children with marketing campaigns that echo through playgrounds worldwide. As nations scramble to legislate against this culinary catastrophe, their efforts are met with fierce resistance from an industry unwilling to relinquish its golden goose. Lobbyists infiltrate government agencies, while dietitian influencers spin narratives that shift blame onto individual willpower, a convenient scapegoat for systemic exploitation, masquerading as choice. The evidence mounts like storm clouds on the horizon. Ultra-processed foods correlate with chronic disease at an alarming rate. Yet amidst this gathering tempest, corporate-funded studies, muddy waters already teeming with doubt and confusion, scientific integrity sacrificed at the altar of profit margins. Despite calls for global intervention from UNICEF and WHO, change remains elusive in a world where economic interests overshadow humanity's most basic needs. The grim reality is laid bare. Our collective health bartered away in exchange for convenience wrapped in plastic packaging, a Faustian bargain struck without consent or understanding. In this dystopian tableau where consumption reigns supreme, governments falter under pressure exerted by conglomerates wielding vast influence over policy-making processes. The promise of regulation dangles tantalizingly, close, yet perpetually out of reach, a mirage shimmering just beyond grasp as waistlines expand alongside corporate coffers. And thus continues humanity's march towards self-destruction, fueled by greed disguised as progress. The ultimate betrayal perpetrated not just upon ourselves, but future generations destined to inherit our folly, unless we awaken from this capitalist-induced stupor before it consumes us whole.